This morning, for the next few minutes, I want to ask you an incredible spiritual question. How's your joy? You say, how's my what? Your joy. Do you realize the Bible commands you as a child of God to have joy? Joy is not a desirable extra. It's a command to have. And we can't produce it in and of ourselves, but it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, we're commanded by God to walk in the Spirit. And then God said, and if you're doing that, here's the fruit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, hope. God says, I'm commanding you to have joy. If you're only going to hear one thing this morning, there is no such thing as a good Christian who doesn't have a great joy life, because it's commanded by God. By the way, why would you want to navigate life being miserable when you don't have to be? When by the power of the Holy Spirit in you, you can have heaven sent joy. We were doing a trial, and somehow one of the cross-examining lawyers that was giving us difficulty got questioning this pastor up there, and he said, you act like everything's okay. And the preacher said, everything is okay. And he said, well, how in the world can you say that? And the preacher said, well, I have some stuff you don't have. And he said, what do you have that I don't have? He said, well, number one, I know I'm going to heaven the day I die, and I know you don't believe in Jesus, so I'm sad to tell you, you're not going. I have something you don't have. And then he said, number two, I have joy. Joy produced by God. Have you got that joy? Well, somehow that became a theme in that trial. And every pastor that got up there wanted to testify about joy. The judge during one of the breaks pulled me aside. And it was only the judge and the bailiff there. And the judge said, do I understand right that in your faith, if you're saved, if Jesus is your Savior, you have a divine ability to have joy? I said, I like how you said that, Judge. That's correct. We have a divine ability to have joy. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you in and of yourself, me, we can't produce it. But the Holy Spirit in you can always produce it. Wow. Now, if you're here and you don't know Christ, you've never asked him to be your Savior, my friend, you can't do this. But you can trust him as your Savior. You can accept what he did when he died in your place and paid for your sins. You can ask him to save you, and he will. And you can have this joy. Paul, writing to the church, says something amazing here, found in the book of Acts, chapter 20. Turn in your Bibles there, if you would. Acts, chapter 20. He's talking to the elders who've come from the church in Ephesus. And he's telling them some things that he wants them to hear. And in this passage, he said, I want to tell you, I'm going to finish my course with joy. The devil's not going to get my joy. Chapter 20, starting, if you would, please, at verse 19. He said, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me, but the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, that's what this church has done for 34 years. Faith by the Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, verse 22, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He says, uncertainties in front of me. Saving that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. How would you like it if God said to you, here's what I want you to do, and you're going to have a lot of trouble? Well, that's what he did to Paul. Saving that I know that bonds and afflictions abide me. But look at verse 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. None of these things move me, that I might finish my course, my race with joy. Well, Brother Gibbs, I have some joy. It just doesn't show. You can't hide joy. Joy always shows. It always comes out. How many of you have kids? Hold your hand up. You have kids? How many of you know kids are God's little spies? Grandkids are really God's little spies. And the kids know if mom has joy. The kids know if dad has joy. The Bible says that is the fullness of joy that we're to have. And when I ask you this morning, how's your joy? Boy, if there was ever an hour in America where God's people ought to say, listen, with all the division we have over all the issues, with all the illnesses and all the COVID and all the uncertainty, let me tell you something. We have heaven-sent joy, a joy that changes everything. Now, I promise you, the devil wants to keep you from that joy, because that joy is powerful. It's the work of God. And when people see that joy, they want that joy. Would anybody want what you have? Would they say, I want what that lady has. I want what that grandmother has. I want what that man has. I want that joy. Wow. I want you to write three keys down, if you would. I love what one pastor said about this. It's a statement I've repeated many times. He said, I want to finish on the right side and the bright side. That's a good way to say it. I want to keep the faith, Dr. Chapel, but I also want joy. Amen. I want to be right and on the bright side. Let's get the three keys to having joy that are found in this passage. Here's number one. If you want joy, you got to get your eyes off of your circumstances. Circumstances. Circumstances control happiness. Circumstances have nothing to do with joy. By the way, that's where we get the word happiness. It comes from the word happenstance. It's what happens to you. Boy, give me all the right happenings, all the right happenstance, and I'll be happy. Give me what I'm looking for. Let it all be breaking my way, and I'll light up and smile. By the way, unsaved people will too. They're controlled by circumstances. And God says joy is not controlled by circumstances. Paul said, listen, this is what I've got coming, but none of these things move me. They're not going to get my joy. Now, people call us in our ministry at the Christian Law Association all the time, and they say, Brother Gibbs, we got real trouble, real trouble. And we need to know what to do. What do we do? I've got a pen and paper here. Tell me, what's number one? What's the first thing I need to do? I said, okay, here's number one. I don't care what your problem is. Here's number one. Give thanks. They said, what? Give thanks. Brother Gibbs, we wanted help. You're not going anywhere with God until you start obeying the verse that says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you're not giving thanks for whatever it is you're facing, the Bible says you're out of God's will. In everything, give thanks. How good are you at doing that? Now, you won't do it by accident. It's a decision. And my wife has helped me on this so much. She said, let's make a list of things that are troubling us that we wish we didn't have. And I said, well, I don't want to make a list of them. I'm trying to forget them. She said, no, let's make a list so we can give thanks. When's the last time, Mom and Dad, the kids heard you give thanks for what you wish wasn't happening? What's the last time your mate heard you give thanks? When's the last time, and by the way, you can fool me, but nobody fools God, that you genuinely went to God and said, you're 100% in control, and I am commanded to thank you in everything. Thank you for it. Wow. Many of you have heard me talk about my mother. She contracted polio when I was 8 years of age. And it changed our whole life. I mean, they took her off to the hospital one morning, and she didn't come home for 2.5 years. She lived in an iron lung, struggling to survive. Polio struck our house. When you're 8 years old, 2.5 years is a long time. And all we did was live for reports day by day. Is she made it? Is she still alive? But after 2.5 years, she got to come home. And when she came home, my dad said, let's have family devotions all together. He said, Mom's not been at the table with us. I want her here. And here she is strapped in a wheelchair. She can't do anything. She can't feed herself. She can't move her hands or legs. And when it came time to say what we wanted to pray for, she said, I want you to help me give thanks for what God allowed this disease to do. And I'm sitting there thinking, give thanks. You're the church pianist. You're the most active, vibrant person I've ever met. Now you have to be strapped just to hold your head up. And she said, no. I need to give thanks in everything. Everything. And then she said these words, the devil's not going to get my joy. Wow. You got to get your eyes off of circumstances. They don't control your joy. Paul said, man, I know I got a rough road ahead of me, but I'm going to finish my course with joy. And these circumstances are not going to make it go away. My mom all the time kept saying, I praise God. This isn't what I planned. It isn't what I wanted. But the God I belong to knew exactly what I needed. And I want to be a thankful child of God and one with joy. My mom outlived everybody that had polio with her by 25 years. She became a study. Cleveland Clinic, Johns Hopkins, Mayo. They all studied her. How in the world she survived so long? And when I would take my mom to the doctor, the doctors would all congregate and say, Miss Gibbs, we don't know how you're alive. You have nothing that works, nothing. You don't have one organ that's doing anything. We just don't understand how you're alive. And you come here and you smile. And you cheer us up. We got everybody wants to know when you're coming. They just want to come and get your smile. Wow. Would they want what you got? Would they want that joy? Oh, I love the song we teach the kids. Many of you have learned it in Sunday school. I got the joy, joy, joy. How many of you know, down in my heart? Have you got it? Heaven sent joy. Circumstances, you can't let it control it. Maybe your next round of circumstances are going to be pleasantly wonderful. Maybe they won't be. It doesn't matter. It doesn't take away your joy. Circumstances never control it. Now, it can control happiness because happiness is a roller coaster. One day you're up, the next day you're down. I was talking to a fellow the other day. He said, I just made a fortune on the stock market. I talked to him the next day, and he said, I lost everything and more. And he said, yesterday I was happy. Today I'm down in the pits. Listen, that's life. That's not joy. God wants you to have a joy. Wow. The first key is get your eyes off of circumstances. In everything, give thanks. And remember, that's followed with the command, rejoice. Rejoice. 7 times the Bible says rejoice. God says rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Joy comes from God. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And as a child of God, you can have it. But you got to be willing to let the Holy Spirit do it. Number one, eyes off of circumstances. Write number two down. You got to be willing to sacrificially serve. Sacrificially serve. Hebrews 12:2, Jesus says, "For the joy that was set before him, he went to the cross for you and me." How good's your service? Joy always comes through service and sacrifice, always. When's the last time you said to God, "Give me somebody to help"? Not somebody help me. God, by your grace, give me somebody to help. Remember, the greatest among you, and I wonder who the greatest person is in this room, the greatest among you will be the servant of all. You want greatness. It comes with a servant spirit. It comes with that heart that says, for God's honor, for God's glory, I'm going to serve. Now, you all know people who you can help, everybody. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, you get involved in helping people, and then half the time they don't even appreciate it. God never said they would. Do you understand? You're not doing it for the person. You're doing it for Jesus, and the person is the beneficiary of what you're doing to Jesus. Wow. How good's your sacrificial service? Again, my wife with her list, she'll say, we need to find some people we can help. There's hurting people everywhere. Who can we help? You say, but I don't have much money. It doesn't necessarily take money to be a help. A kind word, a phone call, a letter, a text, something encouraging. Wow. My dad, at the end of his life, was in a care facility, and we had to have the doctors there, and our family was in there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But one day, one of the doctors came in, and my wife said to him, "The man across the hall, I don't ever see anybody in there with him. Does he not have family or friends?" And the doctor said, "Well, no, he doesn't, and he's dying. He only has a short time to live. But he doesn't have a friend." And my mom said, "Well, could I go be his friend?" And that doctor looked at my wife, and you know Gloria Ann, she's just so simple. She's so sweet. The doctor said, "Why would you want to do that?" She said, "Because we could love Jesus by doing it. He needs a friend. He needs somebody to care." The doctor said, "Well, have at it. He's only got a short time here." Boy, within the hour, my wife and I walked over and we said, "Could we come see you?" And he said, "Yeah." And he said, "I know you. I see you all across the hall there. I don't have anybody who cares for me. Your dad over there, he has a lot of people who care. I have nobody." And my wife took his hand and she said, "Well, I care. And my Jesus cares. Would you let us care for you?" And he said, "Why? Do you know how sick I am? Every time I close my eyes, I think it may be the end." My wife said, "Listen, we want to be your friend and serve you." And he said, "I don't have any money." She said, you can't buy this." We had the privilege of seeing him every day, multiple times a day. We had the privilege of leading him to Jesus Christ as his Savior. My wife was holding his hand when he went to heaven. There's a whole world out there that needs somebody to care. Now the world says, hey, come on, that's wonderful, but that's pie in the sky stuff. No, that's Bible stuff. They think we all ought to be selfish and only care for me and mine. I love what a pastor used to say. I enjoyed so much. He said, the best answer for any problem in your life is for you to help somebody else with a problem in their life. Joy. Get your eyes off of circumstances. And by the grace of God, Start serving. God, give me somebody that I can show the love of God, the joy of God. How many of you know the character Winnie the Pooh? How many of you ever heard of Winnie the Pooh? Winnie the Pooh has a buddy called Eeyore. How many of you know who Eeyore is, right? He's the grump. And Eeyore's amazing. And by the way, most churches are full of Eeyores. They're full of them. Eeyore's this guy that says, how you doing? I'm okay today, but it's probably going to rain tomorrow. Where's the joy? Come on, stop it. Do you realize if your home isn't flooded effusively with God's joy, what you're missing? The Holy Spirit wants you to have it. You can have it. You're commanded to have it. But if you don't serve, and if you get your eyes on circumstances, boy, I've made this mistake. All of a sudden, I've got so many things hitting us at once, I became an Eeyore. Stop it. Get your eyes off of circumstances. It's a command of God to have this joy. And then number two, serve, sacrificially serve. That's where the joy is. Write number three down. Don't forget to testify about Jesus. That's what he said. I'm going to finish my course in the ministry of the gospel of the grace of God. Every one of us is called to be a witness for Jesus. Every one of us. That verse, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, that wasn't written just to pastors or missionaries. That's everybody. And by the way, right now with all these COVID things and all the bad news on television, people are frightened about eternity. They're worried about dying. I mean, newscasters are saying, man, I don't want to die. They all understand this life ends, then comes eternity. And we have the answer, eternal life in Jesus Christ. There's never been a better time to witness. Never been. Never been. A pastor friend of mine in Ohio called me one day, and he said, I've been praying about witnessing. They're telling us we can't go door to door and hand people gospel tracts. So I came up with an idea. I said, what's your idea? Tell me. He said, well, I don't know if you'll like it or not. I said, well, tell me. He said, I bought a semi-trailer load of toilet paper. I said, you bought what? He said, a semi-truck full of toilet paper. I said, why would you do that? He said, everybody is shopping for toilet paper. So we got the semi-load, thousands and thousands of rolls of toilet paper. He said, we've sanitized it all. We put a gospel tract in the middle, and we put a label on it that says, this tract can tell you how to know Jesus Christ and have eternal life during this season of life. And we're putting it on their doorstep. Everybody wants the toilet paper. And he said, they're grabbing it and taking it in. He said, we are getting hundreds of calls a day for people saying, I'd like to say that prayer with somebody. Can you imagine when we get to heaven? We're going to say to somebody, how'd you get saved? Off a roll of toilet paper. You say, well, that's not my style. Mine's not mine either. But you know what? I admire somebody doing something. Amen. And what is your style? Everybody here has relatives that are unsaved. Everybody here has friends who don't know Christ, neighbors who don't know Christ. And we've never had better tracks. We've never had better tools. Oh, my goodness. Your ministry here at this wonderful church has put out tools we've used all across America. But it doesn't do one bit of good if we don't do it. You want joy. You got to get your eyes off of circumstances. You got to be willing to serve. And you got to be willing to do the testimony of Jesus. That everyone has. A pastor friend of mine, his mother was dying. Brother Chapel knows this man well. She was in Jacksonville, Florida, only have a few weeks to live. And she knew she was dying. She'd been sick a long time. And her son said to her, "What would you like me to do to help you the last couple weeks of your life?" She said, "Well, here's what I'd like to do." She said, "I can't move out of bed. I can't do anything. Could you get me a phone that'll just dial local, just the cheapest one you can get, and bring me a phone book? And I want to spend the last 2 weeks of my life just dialing people at random to see if they'll let me talk to them about Jesus." And this pastor, her son, said, "Mom, I'll gladly do that for you, but I don't think people are going to talk to you, so I'm praying they will." And she started calling people, and she said, "You don't know me, and I don't know you, and I don't have anything to sell. I'm dying. I only got a couple weeks to live. But I have something I'd like to share with you," and she'd share the gospel. Well, that lady didn't live 2 weeks. She lived 2 months plus. And in that time, she won hundreds of people to Christ because somebody cared enough to call. How about you? How about me? "Well, Brother Gibbs, I'm too busy." No, you're not. We've all got time for what God commands. But we got to get our eyes off of circumstances. We got to get our eyes where we want to serve, sacrificially serve, and help people. And then number three, we got to share the gospel. My dad, at 84 years of age, dropped over dead in a doctor's office, of all places to fall over dead, a doctor's office. And they immediately, he had no pulse, he had died. And they immediately tried to resuscitate him and went to work, and they were successful. They got him back, and when he opened his eyes, he looked at them all and he said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "You just died." He said, "No, I didn't just die. If I died, I'd be in heaven. And I'm still with you guys, and you're not looking like angels. You're not this in heaven." And they said, "Well, you're very sick. Your heart just gave out." We got called. We all went to the hospital, and the doctor there said, "Mr. Gibbs, you need heart surgery, and it's very serious." This doctor said, "I've done 4,000 open heart surgeries, and I'm an expert, and I'm telling you, your surgery is very touch and go. And I just want you to know that going in." I'm standing by my dad holding his hand, and he said, "Doctor, I got good news for you." He said, "You can't fail." He said, "What?" He said, "You can't fail." He said, "Let me explain it to you." He said, "If we go in there and you lose me on the table, the minute I stop breathing here, I'll be breathing in heaven. And I'll be with my wife. I'll be with my Savior. I'll be with my son who's up there. And if you're successful and I come out here, I'll be with my son and my family who love me. So you see, it's a win-win. You can't fail." And the doctor says, "You mean that, don't you?" He said, "I've never had anybody say that to me." He went and got other doctors and nurses and said, "Tell that to him. I can't fail." And my dad says, "I want to tell you one thing I do worry about. What happens when it's your turn, doctor? Are you ready for eternity?" And my dad led that doctor to the Lord. And the doctor said, "Your dad has something. That look on his face." My dad heard him say it, and he said, "Dave, tell him it's joy. Tell him it's joy. A failing heart isn't going to change it. Circumstances don't control it. I'm giving thanks." Wow. Would the kids, would family, would friends watching you say, "I want the joy that man has. I want the joy that lady has"? Or are we slipping into circumstances running our lives? Circumstances only bring happiness, happenstance. They can't ever bring joy. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles. I want you to look at two more verses as we end. I want you to look, please, in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. I have these circled in my Bible. Now the God of hope filled you with all joy. You understand, he didn't say much joy. He didn't say great joy. He said God wants to fill you with all joy. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Then go to verse 32. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Wow. There's nothing more refreshing than to be around a child of God who has real joy. Amen. Not controlled by circumstances or selfishness, witnessing fervently for Jesus, but they're walking in the Spirit and they have that joy. Pastor came and preached my father's funeral. Very gracious to do it. Came all the way from California to Florida. And when we had the service for him, all these doctors and nurses showed up. I had no idea they were coming. And I recognized a couple of them, and I walked up and I said, I just wonder what you guys are doing here. You guys just don't take off to go to funerals, do you? They said, no, we want what your dad had. We want that. We deal with people who are hopeless all the time. People who are upset with God. But your dad had something. And in that service, your pastor told them how they could get it. Finish your course with joy. How's your joy? No one's responsible for my joy but me. No one's responsible for your joy but you. Now, the devil doesn't care what you just heard as long as he can get you to walk out of here and do nothing. But remember, we're called to be doers of the word and not hearers only. You can leave here starting today, now, with heaven-sent joy.